Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Give our preschool choir a hand again, and Miss Ramona and her team. Great job, guys. Good job. It's good to see all the paparazzi down front. I don't mind if you want a video announcements. Get that. If you're visiting with us today, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to First Baptist Church. If you're a guest, we would love to know you're here. You can do that by filling out our tear off on our worship guide, or if you're watching online, you can go to our website and fill that out, or if you can scan the QR code in front of you if you're in the building and fill out your first time guest. We won't come to your house, but we would like to send you something and tell you that we're so glad that you come to be with us today. Pastor Chris is a bit under the weather, and so he is out today, so you get me and Pastor Don and the choir, and we're going to try to lead you today. Our church of the week is Gunnersville First Baptist Church, and the pastor there is Joel Samuels. As they serve in the Gunnersville area and meet needs, and they've been there for many years. And then our missionary of the week is the Real Life Pregnancy Centers in Marshall County. And most of you know all the different things that that ministry does to take care of people in this community and in this area and ladies that need help. So we're so glad you're here. If you'll stand up with us in a moment, we're going to worship. I'm going to pray. If you'll stand with us, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for our time today. God, I thank you that we're about to go into a time of worship and to lift praises to you as we move into this Christmas season. God, thank you for our time together. God, we pray for Gunnersville First Baptist Church this morning as they spend time together worshiping and lifting up the word, God. We pray for Real Life Pregnancy Centers as they meet needs and do ministry right here in this county for those who need it, God. We thank you for those who volunteer, who serve, who give to make that ministry possible to impact lives. God, be with us today. We ask this in your sweet and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue standing as we sing this song of praise. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let's sing that together. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Sing this great hymn of praise, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Thank you. glory and all the praise, Father. We continue declaring glory to your name, Father, as we praise your name forever and ever. Sing that with us, church. We'll praise his name.
We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. Christ the Lord.
We'll praise your name.
We'll praise your name forever. 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 Christ the Lord.
Give him praise this morning.
Christmas carols, these Christmas songs, as we sing about the manger, as we think about the events that happened in the Christmas story, God, I just want to be thankful. God, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to lift up praise. God, we thank you for the manger that set the scene, that began the story of Jesus redeeming mankind through his life. So God, be with us today in these next few moments. We ask this in your sweet and holy name. Amen. You can be seated. Pastor Chris called me this morning Well, he called several times before I noticed it and answered. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you're the substitute and the teacher calls six times, it's never just to hang out. Like, he didn't just want to talk. I thought maybe, you know, just catch up. No, he had a reason. So he was under the weather. And sometimes, occasionally, just to help out and to be in the schools, I substitute teach. And so the only thing I need to do today is we're going to call roll and we're going to watch a movie. So I thought, do what you know to do. So you better sit where you're supposed to, because I'll leave him a note. If you're not in your seats and if you're talking, I had to get Alex to go find this video TV in the library. I didn't even know how to plug it up. No, do be in prayer for Pastor Chris. He's got a little bit of a stomach bug this morning, and maybe for your benefit, maybe for our benefit, I'm going to teach this morning to you. As I look at the Christmas season, I begin to think, this time of year is filled with so many things. I wrote a few of them down: shopping, going to eat, spending time with family, going to eat, games, gathering to eat, presents and eating, the Christmas music and the food, Christmas lights and going to eat. You know, just the things you do on the holiday season when you're not eating. There's other things that you do, and it's filled with a lot of things, a lot of joy, a lot of laughter, a lot of time together. And as I've gotten older, and as people inform me quite often, grayer, I begin to realize and think about the days that lead up to Christmas morning. Right? As a child, it may be one of the most stressful, trying times in your life. Because here's what happens, and I'll set the scene. It may already be this way in your home. There's gifts, and they're under the tree. You know you're going to get some of those gifts. Everybody knows you're going to get some of those gifts, but you don't know exactly when. And it's just a waiting game, and it's just, you know, every day you walk by and you're like, some of those are mine. And you know something in there is going to be the greatest thing in your life for 5 minutes. But you have to wait. And you have to wait till what? Christmas morning? Or you have to wait till you get to go to your grandparents' house? And it's just constantly walking by and seeing those gifts. And it's just days and minutes and years that tick by for those 2 weeks they're under the tree. Or if it's like our house, those 15 minutes they're under the tree before we open them. And as children, you wait for Christmas morning, and it's waiting and waiting and waiting. And I said this morning, if I was going to title my message today, I would title it Waiting. We are approaching one of the times that we recognize as maybe one of the two most important moments in history. It's the moment when God himself stepped out of heaven and into earth and Jesus began the journey to redeem mankind. We're in a season of Advent where we're anticipating, we're looking to read and learn about the birth of Jesus. We're anticipating the coming Messiah, the King. We're reading through that through our Advent Bible studies, through maybe your own personal reading time, through seeing it in movies and things, the coming of a Jesus, a King. Biblical history records a ton of seasons of waiting. We see it often, that God causes or chooses or guides people to wait for an answer, wait for a promise, wait for a king, wait for something to be resolved. Perhaps one of the most notable times of waiting is between the end of Malachi and the beginning of the book of Matthew, chapter 1. In your Bible, it's a singular piece of paper, a singular sheet that simply says the New Testament. But in the span of history, it's a 400-year period of silence where there was no prophets, no miracles, no signs, no messages from God. Pastor Chris spoke about that a little bit last week. And for 400 years and the years before that, the Jewish people knew a Messiah would come. They knew a king would be here. But they were simply forced to wait. Perhaps that's how you feel today. You know God is there. You know maybe even that God loves you, but it feels like you are just waiting. waiting on God to move in your life, waiting to experience a move of God in your life. As I've been in ministry for many years and read through scripture and taught lessons and had sessions and counseling, conversations, I believe everything we face in life can be found in scripture. It may be worded different, it may be a different temptation, it may look a little different, but the root answer to all of our struggles, I believe we can find in scripture. And if we're willing to take the time to seek it out, I believe God reveals that to us. And as I look at my life, there have been maybe times and seasons where I completely missed what we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas. Perhaps you've done that. And we as followers of Christ must not be this way. We must not miss the meaning of the season. If you have a Bible, turn to Micah chapter 7. Micah is one of the prophets near the end of the Old Testament. I want to look at a story there, and I'm going to give you just a warning. The bulk of the verses I will read today are not an overly encouraging Christmas feel-good text. But I believe the final verse, the one we'll spend the most time on today, is a very feel-good, Christmassy, encouraging text. So Micah is writing this in the last half of the 8th century. And towards the end of the book, towards the end of this time that he's writing it, we see a man in a world that one might say is not too unlike our own. There might be many comparisons and similarities. And in Micah chapter 7, here's what we see. Verse 1, it says, "How sad for me, for I'm like one who, when the summer fruit has been gathered, after the gleaning of the grape harvest, finds no grape cluster to eat, no early fig which I crave. Faithful people have vanished from the land. There is no one upright among the people. All of them wait in ambush to shed blood. They hunt each other with a net. Both hands are good at accomplishing evil. The official and the judge demand a bribe. When the powerful man communicates his evil desire, they plot it together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is worse than a hedge of thorns. The day of your watchman, the day of your punishment is coming. At this time, their panic is here. Do not rely on a friend. Don't trust in a close companion. Seal your mouth from the woman who lies in your arms. Surely a son considers his father a fool. A daughter opposes her mother, and a daughter-in-law is against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. But I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." So I say Micah lives in at this time in a world that's maybe not too unfamiliar to us in a sense. He starts out by saying he feels if maybe he's one of the only godly people left. He compares it to going to pick a summer fruit after the harvest, and there being maybe none he can find. The modern comparison that comes into my mind is the comparison of, say, you have 8 or 10 teenagers over at your house and you go to the kitchen. You know there was food in there. There was a giant harvest. And you have to seek and find for maybe a half a box of cereal that's already got the milk in the box, right? That's what it's like. For he said, I'm seeking, it's like I'm looking for food. I know there was food there. I know there is, but I can't find it. He's saying that's what it's like to seek out maybe other people who are faithful to God. He compares the evil officials to a hunter that weaves a net and throws it over helpless people. Then, just as now, he recognizes there are people who rise to leadership in various ways and areas that do it for maybe selfish or even evil gain. It happens in all areas of life we live in now. In verse 5, he gets even more targeted. He says, "Do not rely on a friend. Don't trust in a close companion. Seal your mouth from the woman who lies in your arms. Surely a son considers his father a fool, a daughter opposes her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household." And as you read those verses, for some you may say, that rings true for my life. Micah says there's corruption in leadership, there's corruption among the people, there's conflict in homes, there's conflict in families, and he's grieved ultimately that the people are just ultimately unfaithful. It's almost as if he's saying, I can't trust anyone, not even those who live under my roof. Son against father, daughter against mother. And what we see here is a society that looks nothing like God intended it. And Micah is sitting in the middle of that. And I would wonder, do some of you feel like you live in that same place? Like, we know the world, culture, society looks nothing like God intended it. We know that. We've all, hopefully you've read and you understand that, you know, Genesis, God has it's perfect. Genesis 3, it's messed up. And from there on out, the world is not going to look as God intended it. But sometimes our world on our own personal level feels even more chaotic than that. That we say, you feel like you're in a good place, but the world around you is painful, hurtful, and even more chaotic than you can imagine. Where the world feels like chaos or even hatred. And when you get to the place where that's how it feels for you, whether it's because of the holiday season and it's just a tough season for you, whether it's the circumstances of life in this season, you have two options. And we as followers of Christ have ultimately two options. We can say, things are just too bad. It's just too difficult. I throw in the towel and I wash my hands of this. I move on. I do not want to face the evil, the hardship, the things the world is throwing at me. Or we can follow the lead of Micah. The beginning of verse 7 has that hinge word. It's a connector. It's a word you see throughout Scripture, and it's never not important. It's the word but. He says all of this thing. He said, here's a paragraph. Here's sentences. Here's everything you can imagine that's happening in this world. But I will look to the Lord. He says, I don't care what happens around me. I don't care what happens in front of me, behind me, in my own home. He says, the choice I make is that I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. And he says, my God will hear me. See, one of the things that is a challenge when I began serving in student ministry, and I told them this morning, I got in student ministry, it was an accident. And that sounds odd for someone who's done it for 15 years, that it was just like an accident, but it kind of was. The reality was we were in a church, and at the time there was no one leading the youth, the students, and I was like, I will. And now I'm here. So be careful what you agree to. Or be willing to agree to a lot of stuff. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I was like, I'll do it. And I don't know that it was ever a plan to be a career. I don't know if it was ever a plan to do that for as long as I have in four different churches and in three or four cities, but it's what God ended up putting on my heart and leading me to do. But I know this, the first challenge I had to overcome was the reality that the only person I can ever change, it doesn't matter how good the sermon is, how good the worship is, if I come up with all the cool Greek words, if I have a great illustration, none of those things, the only person I can ever change in any message I preach, teach, or study is me. And while my desire is to be as faithful to teach Scripture as I can, and my desire is to give everybody that I teach something that they can learn and grow from, I cannot ultimately change a heart. And Micah is grieved by the world around him. It's corrupt, it's evil, it's filled with hurt and heartache. And he ultimately says, I cannot change everyone, but I can change someone. And he says, I will keep looking up, watching, and waiting, ultimately because God will hear me. I believe some in this room feel that way. Perhaps the world is not as extreme for you as it is for him, but it's painful. Perhaps this season is a challenging season for you. Perhaps the Christmas season is not like it was in years past. It's different. It's maybe not as many people as you've celebrated with in the past. Your family may be in conflict, in hardship. It may just be one of those things where you look at others and go, I wish my Christmas season was like that Christmas season or the way that Christmas season appears on Facebook. And as a result, your world feels hurt and you're angry or frustrated or disappointed. And for you, I would say, I think verse 7 still applies. I will look up. I will look to God. I will wait on the God of my salvation because God will hear me. God may feel like he's 1,000 miles away, But Micah shows us that despite all the world around him being chaos, God ultimately hears him. See, the Israelites were in the situation they were in for a few reasons. Shortly after Micah's written is when God ultimately becomes silent. That's the 400 years of silence. But in this season right now, leading up to these moments where Micah is in this time, through Alexander the Great, Hellenism has kind of crept into the nation of Israel. And it's through education, it come in through entertainment, it come in even through religion. And so what happened was Israel went from being a religious, follow Yahweh God, the God we follow, to more of a secular culture. As it becomes secular, a lot of the world got into Israel, and a lot of that kind of pushed a lot of God out of Israel. The second thing that happened was the priesthood, which was sacred, which was honored, which was precious, which was passed down from father to son to grandson. We talked about that last week a little bit in Zechariah. It began to be corrupt and sold to even the highest bidder, and you could get this prestigious honor just by having extra money or extra opportunity, right? And so Micah is in the middle of a corrupt, chaotic world that seems that God is being pushed out and the world is being pushed in. And I submit to you, it's pretty familiar to us in the world we live. So Micah's thought is, here's what I will do. I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. No matter the phase of your life today, take heart in this verse. And it's way too often for me that God has to hammer into my heart and remind me that I can change only me. But I believe that if we as individuals within a church can grasp this concept, then we will always look to the Lord no matter what happens around us. When we begin to experience true change, what happens is people then begin to come to us, not because we know everything or we've told them how to be fixed, but because they've ultimately see how God changed us from the inside out, and it becomes a place that people want to come for hope, healing, when they're hurting. If each person in this room leaves here today and says, I will look to the Lord, I will wait for God in my life because I know he will hear me, then what we begin to see in our own lives is hearts changed and relationships restored and people impacted. And the reason for that is because we stopped trying to fix everyone else. And it's challenging. Some of you are in various leadership positions. You're in your teachers, your coaches. You work in a field where you get to lead people and encourage people. And it's really easy as a leader to be tempted to fix every other person, to tell every other person where they're wrong, broken, or messed up. When the reality is, if we maybe just fix ourselves and focus on ourselves moving forward, then that fixes a lot of things. Micah says, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Why? Because my God will hear me. Micah is looking forward to a coming Messiah, right? He's looking to a Jesus that will come. And he doesn't know when. He doesn't know how. He just knows a king will come and he will be Messiah. We are looking for the same Messiah, but we're looking back at Jesus, right? We know Jesus come. We know Jesus lied. And we have record of his life and his death, his burial and his resurrection. And so us and Micah are both looking to the same Lord in different directions. We're looking back and he's looking forward. And we're both saying, God will hear me. So what do we do while we're waiting? What do we do when we don't know what to do? I'm going to give you three tremendously simple and practical things to do. And I'm going to get you to lunch before the food's even ready. Like I told them in the first service, I was like, listen, we're going to have a message, but you're not going to be late for Sunday school. You can actually run to Foodland and get groceries and come back. So I want to give you three practical things that when you're waiting and looking to the Lord, that you can know that if you do these, he will hear you and he will answer. Here's number one, spend time in prayer. When I look at this text, this one verse, he says, I will look to the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. God can only hear someone who's communicating with him. That's a simple, that's probably way too elementary way to say that. But the reality is, spending time in prayer is you communicating with God. And Micah says, my God will hear me. Why will God hear Micah? Because he's communicating with God. He's in conversation. He's in relationship. He's in communication with God. And I believe that to take what it says in this verse and find peace and hope in your life, it means you do what Micah says and you communicate with God and God hears you. The second thing is you spend time in God's Word. We communicate to God through prayer. God communicates to us through His Word. Right? And so we spend time in communication with God, and then we spend time in God's Word and Him in communication with us. As you spend time in God's Word, more of God gets into you than the world can, and it does the inverse of what it did with the nation of Israel. It pushes the world out and brings God in and his attributes, His desires, and His goals for your life, and you find that hope, peace, and joy that God so desires to give you. And then the last one, and it's honestly one of my favorite things, and I think it's one of the most valuable aspects of Christian faith that I don't know that we do really well, and I don't mean we as in Albert First Baptist, I just mean we as people. It's spend time with God's people. Spend time with other believers, with a church family, with a faith family, with people who have a desire to know Jesus. They don't mean they're perfect, they don't mean they're sinless, that just means they desire to know Jesus, and they're going to help you be that way. I told him, one of my favorite thing, it's probably a spiritual gift. I have a spiritual gift of hanging out. I'm just really good at it. I mean, I'm comfortable saying that. Like, I can just hang out all the time and just spend time with people and laugh and talk and serious talks, light talks, goof off, all of those things. And the reason is because it encourages my heart to talk to people, to sit around after church, to stay at the gym and stand around and talk on a game night, whatever it may be, to spend time with people. And everything on our December calendar, and I joked this morning, we have only 2,000 events left till New Year's. And everything on our calendar between now and New Year's is designed for the three things I encouraged us to do today. To pray, to spend time in God's Word, or to connect with other believers. Even as simple as our trains on Main. You may think it's just a great little image piece that we use to fill up where a fountain used to be, so it's not a sandbox. That's part of it, I'll be honest. But it's also a place of connection. Because every time you walk down there, my kids have seen it 100 times, and it still shocks them every week. You would think they would know that train's there. But every week it's like, oh, there's the trains again. And they're running, and you go and you see dads holding their babies, and they're pointing, and they're telling what they see. Or you see mothers and sons, and you see families, and you see kids talking and talking about what's on there. Those are points of connection for us within this building that helps people build relationships and realize that we're all a lot alike. Sights and sounds tonight. Tonight, sights and sounds of Christmas. It's an opportunity to see high school students from Albertville, to see local musicians and artists and people who are talented come and use their gifts and give us a time of encouragement to maybe get your mind off things, to sing along, to spend time together connecting with other believers and hearing songs about Jesus. Our kids' Christmas play on Wednesday night is an opportunity in a kid-style way to tell the story of Jesus, and they've worked hard, and they've memorized lines, and they've memorized songs, and they're ready to perform to you a version of the Christmas story. This is just a way to connect us to the gospel, to put us in God's Word. It's an opportunity for you to pray for all these kids who've tried to memorize lines or told their moms they have, and they've not even looked at the script yet. I know a guy that used to do that. He looks like me. Friday night is our Maker's Child Christmas edition. We still need about 47 volunteers. At the end of service, I'll tell you what we need. But it's one of the greatest ways that you can build a bridge to a community that is often maybe underserved. It's an opportunity for you to love on people. It's for an opportunity to connect with our other church family and spend time together. Not sitting in rows, but talking in circles and laughing around hot chocolate and playing in fake snow. Christmas on Main is the next night. It's the same thing where hundreds of people from our city will walk on our campus and they get an opportunity to see your smiling face, to make a craft that tells them about Jesus, to encounter the gospel in a fresh way. Sunday night, the 15th, Christmas is Jesus, where we model a little bit of God's desire, where multiple churches and worship teams come together to sing and lift up Jesus together. All of these are opportunities for you to know God better, to pray, to encourage, and to spend time together. And I know you have a lot. I know there's a million things to do, and I know there's a Christmas season that demands a lot of you. I just believe in my heart. If for the next week you said, I want to try to commit to do part of what they're doing you're also going to look back and go, I'm really thankful that I looked to God. I waited and he heard me. And he gave me an opportunity to see the joy and the fellowship that comes in serving him. Friends, I know the Christmas season is amazing. And I know for some the Christmas season is challenging. And no matter what side of the coin you're on today, I want to encourage you to look to the Lord, wait for God, and know that he will hear you. This morning as we close, I want to give you a chance to draw near to him. I think every service almost should have an opportunity for us to talk to God. It would be really wrong of me to encourage you to speak to God and not give you that opportunity. Because for some of you in this room, God may be convicting your heart to take a step of obedience and move out of where you are now into a place of prayer with him. And in a moment, we're going to begin to sing. And if Christmas season is hard and you want God to hear you, there's a great place in this altar. There's a great place with a person beside you to reach over and ask them to pray with you. There's a great place anywhere in this building, honestly. If you don't want to do it in here, just try to stay in the out of the parking lot, right? But there's a desire of God to know you, and he only knows you when you talk to him, and then we know him through his word. And I want to give you a chance to talk to him today, if you'll bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father God, as we move into one of the busiest weeks of the year for our church family, as we move into one of the busiest seasons for all of our families, God, I pray that we wait to experience you, that we slow down the pace, that we spend time in your word, that we lift up prayers to you, and that, God, that we know that you hear us. And God, if there's someone in this room who's been waiting on God to reveal something in their life, perhaps this morning God has convicted and pressed upon their heart that they need to know you. God, I pray that in the next few moments, they have no choice but to respond to that prompt. That God, those in this room who are hurting and the world feels like chaos, God, I pray for peace and comfort in their life. That God, I pray that you put people and relationships in their life that give them joy, that give them a desire to know that they're loved. God, be with us in these next few moments. We ask this in your sweet and holy name. Amen. If you'll stand with us.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.